Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson, and today we're going to be talking technology, not just any old technology. It's keyhole technology for the manufacturing industry. I'm talking today to Adrian Smith. He is the Managing Director of KTIG, ASX code KTG. Now, KTIG have been doing a lot of great stuff at the moment, and the best way to describe them is from a science experiment to one now doing really big deals with international manufacturers. Now, if you want to know the whole background to KTIG, I suggest you go back to the video I did with Adrian on the 13th of November last year. At that stage, we gave a good overview, but also for the investors out there, at that stage, the share price was 26 cents. Today, as I talk to Adrian, it is 46 cents, and they have a lot of news coming out at the moment. So it is delightful to be chatting to you today, Adrian, as I get my words out properly. Nice to see you.
Thanks, Gary. It's an absolute pleasure to be here again.
Can we just start I've said to them, go back and watch the video we did back in November when they should have all bought shares. What does KTIG stand for?
Okay, so TIG is tungsten inert gas, a very well-established type of welding, very high-quality precision welding. The K is for keyhole. So that is our innovation. We are, you know, the pioneers globally in the use of keyhole TIG welding. And what keyhole means is that we can punch a single weld through a thick piece of steel and in one pass put a molten slug of metal right through the whole process. And that's essentially our innovation.
Yeah, and it's your innovation, and the end result for customers is lowering costs of doing the welding.
Absolutely. So we can weld a thick piece of steel in one single pass, something that might take 15 or 20 normal TIG passes, where you have to lay down a small bead and let it cool, clean it up, lay another small bead down, let it cool, clean it up, and keep doing that. We just butt the metal together, run the torch across it, and 12 millimeter thick piece of stainless steel is welded together.
That's which is great. So it's advanced, it's disruptive technology for the welding industry, which is fantastic. But today's news I want to talk about, which is the news of your deal with Hanwha, which is a Korean military manufacturer. Can you just outline what you've done and why this is a really interesting news for KT?
Sure. So Hanwha is a global Fortune 300 company. They're a massive, massive player. And we've been working with Hanwha for some time in discussions where they've been looking at our technology specifically for the fabrication of armored vehicles. Now, Hanwha are the preferred supplier for the Land 8116, which is the self-propelled howitzer for the Australian Army, where they'll be bringing their Huntsman vehicle over. And they're one of two that are in downslope, currently being evaluated for the Land 400 Phase 3, which is the infantry fighting vehicle, where surprisingly they're offering Redback. I don't know what their affiliation with spiders is, but that's that's what their products are all called. They'll be producing those in Australia. So their Australian industry is to do manufacturing or significant parts of the manufacturing in Australia. And they're very interested in our technology. If I go back in history, the defence world looks at the maturity of technology in what they call their technology readiness levels. And it's a 1 to 9 scale, where 1 is it's a thought from a mad scientist sitting somewhere, to a 9 where you've got a fully commercial, you know, capability that is pumping out product. The Defence Materials Testing Centre, in conjunction with the University of Wollongong, evaluated our technology over a couple of years ago, and found that it was no surprise to us, but they found that because of the way our welding technology works, we actually produce better joints between armoured steel. They're harder.
Yeah.
So there's less weakness in them. And they did that in a laboratory experiment, typical university experiment, you know, somebody got a PhD out of it. And they looked out. And but it was a really interesting thing that was that created a lot of interest. We're working with Hanwha now to take that laboratory experiment. Incidentally, I've hired all of the people who did that research. They now work for KTIC. We're basically doing that not with arbitrary materials, but with very specific materials and joint geometries applicable to armored vehicles. And what we're doing is we're producing them or demonstrating to them that all of the benefits can be achieved in their manufacturing process. So that's what the MOU we signed last week is to work with them to do that. And their aim, if we're able to duplicate the results of the previous work that have been done in the laboratory, is to use those techniques and our methods to actually manufacture both the Huntsman vehicle and, if they're successful, in Land 400 Phase 3, the Redback vehicle in Australia. So that's what's exciting about it.
Give me some ideas on the timeline for this as well. I mean, is this going to be quite a long
process? Well, our demonstration is a 24-week program.
Right.
So we've started work on that. So we'll be submitting in 24 weeks, basically, all of the test results for what we've been able to achieve. Then it goes into the government programs for the procurement and building of 8116 and Land 400 Phase 3.
Oh, okay. So that could be about another 50 years down the track. No, just kidding.
No. The timescales are much shorter, but obviously they have to sign the contracts, you know, do all the negotiations with the Commonwealth, and then, you know, build the facility in Australia and then get into production. So it's a medium term pathway to revenue. But, you know, from our perspective is, yes, there's the Australian revenue, but the Hanwha is very interested in it from the Australian project point of view, but they're also interested in it taking it back to Korea and producing better quality vehicles in Korea. And they're proposing to bid it into the American next generation fighting vehicle, where they're one of the candidate vehicles for that. So
just expand on that one a little bit, Adrian.
Both those programs are orders of magnitude bigger than the Australian program.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, if you said before, Hanwha is a global Fortune 300 company.
Yep.
So I'm assuming that Australia is just one little piece of the pie.
Absolutely.
And do you think that they're doing this from an Australian context because it's a smaller market, they can do a little bit more testing here and then roll it out to all of the other areas where they need keyhole?
Yeah, there's part of that. I mean, there's the politics of Australian industry content and the federal government driving that. There is the fact that they're going to build it in Australia, so they have to build a greenfield site. So they've got to requalify all of their processes and equipment and things like that. So it's not just cookie cuttering out what they're doing. So, but Hanwha are an incredibly innovative company and probably the world leader in automated welding for military applications. Anyway, so they're very, very open to this sort of technology, and they're known for incremental improvement in the way they do things. So they're always changing the technology they use and the techniques they use to get, you know, the 1% is the 2% is improvement in their product. That's their culture. So they're not stagnant and always trying to do the same thing every time. And they're just the perfect partner for us.
How did you find them as a partner? Did they approach you? Did you approach them? I mean, and, you know, how long has this been going on? I mean, I know you've just announced it, but has it been a long time?
A company that is very, very thorough and does a lot of due diligence. So, yes, we've been talking to them for months and months, but they were then doing due diligence on, you know, the potential benefits of our technology, which are, you know, are awesome on paper. You know, so they were looking at the work done by the University of Wollongong in Korea. The Korean teams were doing it as well as the Australian team. So it's been a three-way conversation, the Australian team, the Seoul-based team, engineering team, and ourselves. Very thorough investigation. So, you know, we're all parties are very confident that it will head out the way we all anticipate. Have you got in contact with them? They heard about our technology and we just got talking.
Great. So that's just one little thing that's going on at the moment. Last time you and I spoke, you were talking about the fact that, the US is, in terms of Australia v. US, well, it's 10 times the population. And now that Joe Biden's in office, 1,000 times the expenditure going out there, especially for the military, I think.
Yeah. Lots of infrastructure spending.
So lots of welding's going to be happening, and that's around the world. So last time we spoke, you were talking about a US sales force. Can you just enlighten us as to where you're at with that? How's that been going since November last year?
Yeah, that's really critical because, you know, the defense stuff, while it's big and it's massive and you know, could lead to, you know, hundreds of millions in revenue, that's down the track. You know, that's a couple of years before that turns into significant revenues. So it's really critical for us that we keep our focus on our business and where we're doing. And, you know, the US, as we discussed in November when we talked, is you know, 70% of our market or of the global market for our product and will be for forever. And so, you know, we've put a lot of effort into getting that team. Back in November, we just put in a direct sales force team and I think signed our first distributor into the system. That's all going great. You know, we're seeing a lot of activity. We're over that initial training and getting people up to speed from a team. And, you know, we're really seeing that turn into the sales pipeline in terms of real numbers. So I'm personally very, very happy with all that's heading. We're now rolling out the second phase of that. And that's really moving from just, you know, boots on the ground selling into a situation where, you know, we can sell out of inventory held in the US. We have tech support in the US. We have our own demonstration facilities, training, commissioning, and all of that gear. So that's the part of the project that we're working on currently, having bedded down the sales force. And we expect that to, our potential clients are telling us that that's what they want to see before they commit big time to the technology.
When you're saying before they commit big time, so what's your thought process on that? What's your time frame?
Yeah, so what we're doing now is we're getting a lot of places that are buying one unit and trying it.
Right.
But they have applications for 5-10 units within their factory. But the issues are things like not the how good the technology is and how good it works is, but what happens if they need a spare part? You know, they don't want to wait 11 days for a spare part to be in Australia. What if they need a tech expert to come and help them to solve a problem? They need those people in country. They need those parts in country so that, you know, we can FedEx them or DHL right. them and get them there within 12 hours, not 11 days.
Oh, yeah, because if you're a manufacturer or you're doing an infrastructure project and you've got to wait 11 days, that's money.
Yeah, absolutely. And it probably negates the year's benefits of using our technology in terms of the base because you shut the whole process down, not just the welding last part of it. So, you know, it's getting in those infrastructure and logistics and inventory and all of those sort of things are really critical. And you know, that's business 101. But it's something that hadn't happened in the past of the company. And, you know, it's one of the initiatives that we've been working on really hard since I came on board.
Yeah, you said earlier that one of your things is if you get the basics of business right, everything else follows.
Yeah, I mean, and that's to me is one of the things I love about KTEC. I mean, we've got a fabulous product. It's real. It's disruptive. We've had a lot of companies now been trialing it and getting great results. I've got a fabulous team of people. You know, our weakness was, you know, we were running as a startup. I think I used these words in November. You know, previously the organization had operated as a startup, not as a real business. And that's the transformation that I've been trying to bring into it. I mean, the anecdote I tell people is that one of the very first things I did is I had a workshop with all the teams to look at what drove buyer behavior. And we identified 21 things ranging from very critical to nice to haves. As a company, we only address three of those. And you aren't ever going to do great business if you're only addressing a tiny fraction of what people care about.
Wow. Okay. So there are a lot more things. So there's a lot more that you can do to make this process a very good experience for clients.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, those 18 things that we weren't addressing, we're addressing them all now. But these things don't change overnight, and we've got work, you know, and obviously, you know, putting in inventory so that we can supply spare parts in a timely manner is a simple thing, but you've got to set up all your logistics, your trains to do that. We've got to set up the IT systems to be able to manage that. Wow. You know, these things don't happen overnight, but that's all what we're working on. And our next plan, of course, is to cookie cutter what we're doing in the US and do that into Europe and pick up the next 30% of our market. And grow that. So we've got an exciting year and a half of work to do to keep all that going.
So the Australian market's only very small, although, you know, as I said in the interview last time, you know, this is an Australian company doing manufacturing in Australia, so I got very excited about that because it is good.
Yeah, and we're starting to see interest in Australia. So Australia manufacturing isn't particularly invested in high-tech automation and things like that, especially in the welding part of the industry. It's largely manual welding, but because we've started to get a bit of press, we're starting to get a bit of announcements and notice. We're actually getting more and more Australian fabricators contact us now. So perhaps last time I was a little bit pessimistic about how much sales would happen in Australia. I'm a lot more confident now.
Well, let's talk numbers, because our audience, of course, are investors, and they're always looking at what should I be investing in? And let's talk some numbers here, because you do have some cash in the bank. Your revenue is year on year is up over 1,000%. Your net income is up close to 100%. Your margins are very strong, and you've got some cash. So let's talk numbers and why you think now is a really good time for investors to be looking at Katie.
It's about scaling now. We have a good product, we have a great thing, but you know, it's really about getting distribution in front of more people, addressing their buy drivers and closing. We have no one who comes to us and says this is lousy technology. Right. Nobody ever says this doesn't work or isn't a good idea. Like what they all talk about is the things like, you know, can we do spare parts? How can I get some tech support? Because my workforce isn't necessarily strong enough to develop up welding solutions. It's about scaling all of that and doing it. And what we're seeing is the pipeline, which is obviously a lead indicator of sales over the next couple of quarters, because it does take, you know, 3 to 6 months from initial work by the time they work up a capital gear. So we're seeing that pipeline grow now, and I'm expecting that to see in even increased revenue growth over the next 18 months.
So that's good for investors. Has COVID, given the fact that you mentioned that 70% of your market could potentially be US, has COVID affected that at all? I mean, I know you and I are talking on Zoom at the moment, and isn't it fabulous that technology allows us to do it? But when it comes to something like Katie, sometimes I guess, they're not... It's not buying a packet of chewing gum. Is there an effect with COVID? Or
absolutely. People want to touch it. People want to see it.
Yeah.
We've been doing it over Zoom, but, you know, and that's just been demonstrated by putting boots on the ground in the US. You know, they get on their cars, they do a road trip, visit 10 clients, and then, you know, we've got 8 appointments for demonstrations and, you know, a year like that. But, you know, people, it's real. So I think that face-to-face, business-to-business selling, the human element of that is tough to do, especially from the other side of the world. Yeah. Once you've got that relationship, sure. You know, once they've touched it, filled it, you can do a lot of the support things remotely and you can talk to people. But, perhaps I'm old-fashioned, but I think there's still a lot to be said.
Totally agree with you, Adrian. Now, I just want to ask one last question because we've mentioned Hanwha, we've mentioned defence, but they're not the only people that are involved in the welding, you know, and especially this type of welding that you're doing in the defence industries. And of course, defence is massive. Sure. Are you talking to other potential partners and directly to the defence industry about what you could do?
I'd have to kill you if I answered that question. But yeah, obviously, Hanwha is the most advanced of many, many conversations we're having.
So in terms of growth, what's your thoughts for the next year, 12 months?
I think for the next 12 months, it'll be steady growth.
Right.
In terms of where we're going, because the defence stuff is, you know, probably 23 before it turns into significant revenues. But I see a real hockey stick coming from that. We are talking to, you know, global defence players across the whole range of applications, from maritime to land to air, and you know, early days. But I believe that, you know, if the Hamwell will be the first of the major deals to go down. And if that is successful, you know, at the end of the day, we will be delivering increased protection to the fighting forces of the customers. And there isn't a defence force in the world that doesn't want that. So I see lots of potential to expand.
I did say that was the last question. I've got one more. Competition. Yeah. Is it patented? And are you the only ones doing this? Is there other people out there that can take over?
Our competition is other welding technologies.
Right.
And, we're not the solution for all welding. We're not going to replace all welding. There is a sweet spot of applications and materials that we offer better performance, both from a financial and speed point of view, and also from a quality point of view. You know, there are people playing with keyhole tech, but we hold patents on all the core technology that allows us to do it. I would never say that they won't ever arise. I think that would be naive to think that there won't be a competitor. But at the moment, we're basically competing against conventional technologies.
Right. Final comments for our investors out there as to why now is a good... it was last November, ladies and gentlemen. But hey, we'll go with now as well. 26 to 46. Why is now a good time for KT? For investors.
I'm still buying because I think there's still plenty of upside.
You're buying on market?
I have been, yeah.
You've been buying. I love that. I love it when the managing director has skin in the game, ladies and gentlemen. You always know I like that. You heard it here from the man's mouth himself, Adrian Smith, managing director of KTIG, ASX code KTG. Watch this space and we'll look forward to talking to you in the near future. Thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thank you.